Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. Welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network on this Tuesday. As you listen to us on one of your great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, and also streaming live on YouTube. Can you believe that we're 13 weeks into the NFL season? Week 14 right around the corner. Let's go out to the guest line right now. He is the co-host of Scoop City with The Athletic. He's also an NFL insider for Bleacher Report, and that is our pal James Palmer, who, by the way, let me be respectful here because I know he's forgot this feeling. The last 4 years, it did not go his way. He would come on this show. He would take his lumps. He would cry about it and do all that stuff. But his Ohio State Buckeyes finally decided to have a pulse once again and finally decided to be a legitimate college football program, and they defeated the Michigan Wolverines, even though they just won the national championship last year. So, this is a long-winded way of me saying congratulations, James Palmer.
Well, that was big of you, Zach. That was very big of you. I appreciate it. It was a strange 4 years. A natty in there made it feel a little bit better. But, you know, during my almost a decade in college at Ohio State, I guess I was in no hurry to leave. I didn't really experience any of these losses. So it's been different. But this is an interesting team we have here in Columbus. This is a special group.
Your yearbook back then for college was in black and white. Was that correct or no?
My first year of school was Tressel's first year.
Okay.
So when they won the national championship, that was my sophomore year with Maurice Clarett and those guys. So, my last game ever as a student was, I mean, we've had like 1,000 game of the centuries, I feel like, in college football. They always rename it every year. But it was when Ohio State, Michigan were 1-2 with Troy Smith at the Horseshoe. That was my last game as a student. Then we went and got mopped, I think, in the national championship by Florida.
James Palmer here with us. Alrighty, so last night, let's start with Jackson Dart. He's got to learn how to go down or go out of bounds or slide. I didn't think it was a dirty hit last night. It's usually something that we don't see anymore in the NFL, but I thought the officials were right to not throw the flag. Do you think Jackson Dart will actually learn from last night, or is he just going to brush it off and say, this is who I am?
Well, this is who I am is how he doubled down on it, Zach, after the game. I mean, and he was emphatic about it, saying, we're not playing soccer. This is how I play. If you've seen any point of my career, this is how I'm going to play the game. My argument to that would be this. I've covered this league for a long time. These are different players than you've ever played against, different human beings than you've ever played against. These are guys that are 300 pounds and running sub four sevens. Like it's a different group that's out there, and you are more valuable now in your playing career than you've ever been in terms of jobs, a franchise, how a team is built, all of those things. A franchise quarterback is a rare thing to be named, and you should take that into account by seeing how some of these other guys play. I get it. There's some unicorns out there right now in terms of their size and their ability, whether it's Josh Allen, whether it's Lamar Jackson. Those two jump out at you right away. Lamar's struggling with injuries right now, and so this is a different league. Staying on the field is a huge part of that. He could have run out of bounds a half a yard sooner or a yard sooner and been exactly fine. I get what you're doing, and I know what you want to do for your locker room, but at the same time, there is so much more to being on the field as a franchise quarterback. They have to get, whatever the new coaching staff comes in, whoever that is, I don't think it's going to be Mike Kafka now, is going to have to preach that loud and clear to Jackson Dart.
And it could change real quickly in this league. Like, Dart has done some good things. Drake May did some good things last year. Caleb Williams did some good things last year. You pair up Ben Johnson with Caleb Williams, boom, they take off. Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels with Drake May, boom, they take off. When you look at this Giants coaching search, who are some of the names that you think that they could be interested in?
Yeah, I had heard that they were going to cast a wide net initially, and they have plenty of time. I think time was on their side in essence. I know they wanted to take a little bit of a look at Kafka. I think that's usually what happens when you part ways during the season as well, as you get a chance to look at somebody internally that you do want to take a little deeper look at. I think they're going to have their pick. I don't think this is going to be, and this could all change. I mean, we could get into it a little bit, but this might be on the lighter side. We usually average around 5 to 6 a year. This might be under that, and I think they could have their pick of the litter, in all honesty. If Mike Tomlin becomes available, I think you jump at it. If Matt LaFleur becomes available, I think you jump at it. I don't think Matt becomes available, but they didn't sign a contract extension before this season started. They wanted to take a look at how this season went. The expectations are through the roof in Green Bay. That's one I would keep an eye on. I think he's a great coach. I think they think he's a great coach. But those names where it just might be time or the situation might give them the ability to look at somebody that they didn't think they'd have the opportunity to look at. I think Jeff Hafley, Steve Spagnuolo, I think ties back there. I know people mentioned Lou Anarumo. I know that the Giants are big on relationships, big on knowing the region, big on knowing the area. But at the same time, this is a really big hire. I don't think you want to limit yourself in anything like I just mentioned, Zach, because you have a star wide receiver on a rookie contract. You have a star quarterback on a rookie contract, running back, defensive line. I know you're looking for offensive line and corner, and I think that's the NFL is looking for those positions regularly. But you have a lot of building blocks and pieces in place. I do think they haven't come anywhere near where they're looking. I think the college ranks has kind of come and went in anybody's mind in the league right now. But I think you wait and see if one of these big dogs that might become available. Who knows? And you see if you can land one of those guys.
Is there a chance that Tomlin becomes available this offseason?
You know, I think it's like an inappropriate conversation to have each and every offseason because of the type of coach he is. But this offseason, this end of the year and heading into the offseason feels a little bit different, doesn't it? It feels a little bit different than it has in years past for a few reasons. One, they went all in this year. I mean, they really did in terms of the veterans. I mean, they just parted ways with Darius Slay. That was another veteran that they went in and they wanted to kind of play a role, and they got older and they have the most expensive defense that is not playing well. This Aaron Rodgers experiment is not, this back half of the year has been much different than the first half of the year where they were just living by this quick passing game that was somewhat effective because they were getting the ball out of Aaron's hands very quickly. Sometimes it is just time. I mean, the comparison that everybody makes is Andy Reid. Now, that team bottomed out his last year in Philadelphia, and there was plenty of off-the-field stuff that was going on with Andy and his family, obviously. And you know, that was a situation that actually worked out for both sides. Philly's won 2 Super Bowls. Andy Reid's had unbelievable success in Kansas City. Sometimes the message does wear thin in this particular spot that you're in. I think he would be very successful wherever he ended up going. He kind of does look, just my personal opinion, tired. Like, he looks a little worn out, and I'm curious if that's the case. And sometimes it is time, and it's nothing that the coach did wrong. But this could be eventually, it has to at some point, and this year feels different than years past for sure.
Yeah, and I just don't expect it because I feel like we've talked about this for the last 3 to 5 years, and the Rooney family just doesn't change coaches. But with that being said, James Palmer, you know, the Andy Reid comparison, I've talked about that before. But this idea that the Steelers can't move off of Mike Tomlin to me is ludicrous. Like, he's the head coach of the Steelers. They haven't won a playoff game since January of 2017. Other franchises would be thrilled getting to the playoffs every year and going out in the wild card round. But this is an organization that's tied for the most Super Bowls of all time. Like, if the Patriots could get rid of Bill Belichick eventually, the Steelers could get rid of Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, and there's similar issues that, I mean, I was at their playoff game against Baltimore this past year, and you saw the way the defense fell apart the last half of the season last year. They kind of thought it was Minkah Fitzpatrick in the middle of the defense, and that was slowing them down, and he had gotten older. Will they move on from him? And a lot of the issues that they had were getting masked by turnovers. That happens a lot of times with defenses that are struggling. You get saved by a handful of turnovers, and you think you're doing all right. Like, it was interesting to me to where, like, the group is relatively the same in some aspects, and it hasn't, it's only gotten older, and they've re-upped with TJ Watt, and they've re-upped with other guys, and Cam Hayward wants to, you know, a new contract, and it's kind of like, I thought we fixed some stuff, and some things didn't really get fixed this offseason outside of bringing in the quarterback, the 41-year-old quarterback that you were waiting on.
Is there any chance that Bill Belichick is the next head football coach of the Giants?
I don't think so. I really don't. I haven't heard anything either way. I don't see the NFL being entirely interested in Bill Belichick right now. I really don't. The last opportunity he had in Atlanta, my understanding, that blew up in unbelievable fashion at the 11th hour. And I think the rest of the league knows that. And the rest of the league knows what Bill would be bringing with him. And it is just a wild turn of events that have transpired since his departure in New England and to where we are now, that the perception of one of the greatest coaches, if not the greatest coach in modern history, is a person that NFL teams are not interested in right now. And I think when you look at where we're at, and you look at what's happened, you mentioned Ben Johnson and what he does with Caleb Williams right away, and you look at what Mike Vrabel's done, and, you know, Sean Payton in the quick time, and he's a little bit older. I think there's a little bit of a turn here that's happened in the NFL, and I don't think Bill Belichick's really a part of it.
You know, I think right now you need a player's coach who's not a doormat, like a Dan Campbell, a Mike Vrabel. You know, I didn't love him in the beginning, but even a guy like a Ben Johnson, and I say this as a Patriot fan, right? I love Bill Belichick. I would die for Bill Belichick, you know, in a hyperbolic sense. But with that being said, I see Mike Vrabel coming, who's aggressive. He will go for it on fourth down. You know, I know Bill had fourth and two back in the day, but most of the time, if it's fourth down in midfield, Bill Belichick was punting. It's like the NFL game, I just don't think is made for Belichick anymore. And I think he would have done a good job in Atlanta, you know, in terms of with the talent that they had. The Patriots at the end, they basically had no talent. They still made the playoffs that one year with Mac Jones. But how it ended in New England, where he had Joe Judge and Matt Patricia around Mac Jones trying to develop him, that was sloppy and that was really ugly.
Yeah, and it has to be, in today's NFL, we're seeing a lot of these so-called arranged marriages, Zach, honestly, that are working out. And I don't know if Bill wants to be a part of one of those. I don't know if Bill wants to have a situation where the relationship has a lot of power that can sway both ways a little bit. I mean, you look at Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson, and it's working. You look at Mike Vrabel and Elliott Wolf. I think some people were curious if that would work, and it has. There were rumors in the early days. I mean, I live here in Denver that, you know that Sean Payton's going to push George Payton out of the building. No, like that relationship has grown to be very, very good. And George is a great evaluator of talent and putting a team together. And he knows what Sean is looking for. And they're working really, really well together. Those things I bring up, I don't see Bill working in that type of environment the way that these guys have and the way that they've made it work, which is kind of a little bit more of the new NFL.
Yeah, it's a big reason why I think he didn't get the job in Atlanta, because guys like McKay and Fontenot got in the ear of the owner because they were afraid they were going to lose their job after a year. James Palmer here with us. So talking about that, you know, Joe Shane, I know they're kicking the can down the road, but he's still the GM. Do you anticipate that he's going to be able to pick the next head football coach of the Giants and he'll be actually back next year?
This is a fascinating situation. And I equate it to the Jacksonville Jaguars from a season ago. And you look at the appeal of a job. And if you want, and I think you have, and we went over it just now, the type of roster that you have and the minimal holes, and you have a quarterback on a rookie contract, this is very appealing to a lot of your top candidates. But what happened in Jacksonville? They had a very appealing situation down there. And there were people I talked to around the league that were going, well, Trent Baalke remaining in the conversation has changed my perception or changed my client's perception of how he wants to approach that Jacksonville job. It just feels different. Well, Jacksonville got a kind of a whiff of that. Liam Cohen kind of becomes their top candidate. And what ends up happening? Trent Baalke's out, and they end up bringing in James Gladstone, and they end up bringing in Liam Cohen, and there it is. So them saying he's a part of the search is different than leading the search. I think being involved is something that is, of course, there right now. But if a candidate that you, as the ownership group, that let's be clear, is clearly running it and should be, fall in love with a candidate, and that's a deal breaker, that's a difficult conversation to have, but it's one that you're going to really have because you feel like you're in a pretty good spot as an organization. It happened in Jacksonville last year, just a year ago. Do I think Joe Shane and Trent Baalke are apples and oranges? Certainly. But at the same time, you can't discredit what we just watched happen. And they ended up getting the guy that they wanted that probably wasn't in the running there when Trent was still in the mix.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you here, James Palmer. Marcus Freeman. You know, is that a name that could be a mix in this head coaching cycle? Because the other day when I was thinking about who could replace Tomlin with the Steelers, I just went to the name Marcus Freeman, who I don't think is leaving Notre Dame unless if somehow Ohio State opens up or he wants to just go to the NFL.
Whoa, Zach. That's,
if Ryan Day wants to go to the NFL, you know, that would be a good hire.
It'd be a good, it would be, yeah. He's been in the league.
I'm trying
before.
To help you here. You know, I know you're not used to this. I'm trying to help you. I'm being nice.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think he's a name that the teams have certainly been interested in the past. I know that for sure. He's a name that teams have done their work on. You should see the binders that teams put together on these potential candidates, the background that they put in and the amount of hours and time and man hours and labor they put in to these certain candidates. I think Marcus has had a lot of work done on him at the NFL level, certainly. And if he were to put it out there that he's relatively available, I think the increased interest would happen. I don't think we're there right now. And that's why I think this is like the background that a lot of these teams do. And they do a lot of it. And a lot of it has been done on Marcus. But until there's a different feeling about his situation, I don't think the league takes it much further other than just kind of keeping an eye on him.
How far are you willing to go with the Bears and the Pats right now for this year?
Yeah, I think New England's a little bit more real than Chicago is, and that's solely because of the quarterback play. I mean, Drake May has been outstanding. I think the three best players at that position this year right now are probably him, Stafford, and Dak. I think Dak deserves a little more credit for the way he's playing down there. And so quarterback play goes a really long way. They still can't run the ball real well, and that's a bit of an issue up there in New England. But you see the way these guys were flying around in that game. I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, it was a Mike Vrabel team. I think we've seen how quickly he's put his imprint on it. I'm fascinated to see what 2026 is like. They were paying like Zach like a suck tax in free agency, right, trying to get guys to come up there. And now, in 1 year, it's going to be reversed. We got a quarterback on a rookie contract. We got Mike Vrabel's culture. Like, I think guys are going to be pounding the door down to go up into New England. And so I think it's just been an unbelievable turnaround. I trust them a little bit further because I think they also have a more realistic chance of the number one seed. And the number one seed now in today's playoffs is everything. You're the only team with a bye, and you play at home, and somebody's going to have to go to Foxborough and play there, and your coach knows what it's like to win in Foxborough in the postseason. I think that's huge. What Ben Johnson has done is honestly blown me away this year in Chicago. Like, the way after the bye week happened, and my understanding was that's what he preached the entire week. We're going to bring in the run game that I know so well, and that's what I did so well in Detroit, and we're going to change what we're doing as a running team. That really happened in all the work they did during the bye week, and now you got two guys that are running the football brilliantly. The offensive line and the run scheme is outstanding, but you have a quarterback completing 58% of his passes. I mean, I know Caleb Williams still is making some throws. I think they're doing a similar... I'll make this comparison, honestly. I think what he's doing is very similar to what Matt LaFleur did with the first 2 years that Jordan Love was a starter. And that is, I'm not putting the gloves on you, man. I'm taking the white gloves off, and we're going to throw you out there. We're going to have to do a lot of things. We could be relying on the RPO stuff and putting Caleb Williams in the gun right now, but he's not. He's making him play quarterback, and he's making him do it as quickly as possible. So now in year three, you look at Jordan Love in the system, and I think he's on the precipice of making that leap into the elite group, and it's because of what Matt LaFleur did the first 2 years. I think Ben Johnson's doing something very similar and forcing Caleb to play quarterback. It's all not perfect, but he's not turning the ball over, and man, he's not getting sacked. So there's been growth and there's been change. And that defense is really, let's be honest, relying on a lot of turnovers. I think they've had one win this season out of their nine where they didn't get multiple turnovers. The rest of them are two, multiple games with four. And so I think that masks a little things, but I love what Chicago's done. I can't wait to see this game against Green Bay, but I would take New England out of those two.
When you look at the Chiefs and the Lions, James Palmer, if you predicted that as the Super Bowl before the start of the season, I would say, yeah, I could definitely see that sign up. Now it looks like both these teams are going to miss the playoffs. Do you think both these teams are going to be on the outside looking in a few weeks?
It's so hard to say that Patrick Mahomes would miss the playoffs, right? But I essentially have to go 5 for 5. Like they have, it's a win and get in each and every week. And I don't think anybody, I just did a thing on The Athletic for this, like would want to play Houston right now. Not with that defense at all.
And the quarterback I don't really trust right now, but that defensive line or the front seven with Anderson and Danielle Hunter, they could definitely win a wild card round game, no doubt about it.
They certainly could. If you remember how banged up they were, and I was at this game, how banged up they were at Arrowhead in the postseason a year ago, and they took that game into the fourth quarter, like, and they had no players. And so it's not just the defensive front either. Like, I mean, you go look at Lassiter and Stingley at the corners. I think Bullock is one of the best long-range safeties in this league right now already. Like, they have pieces all over that defense. And you have a banged-up offensive line in Kansas City. I think this is a really, really tough game for him. And Nick Cayley has found his groove a little bit, I'm told, over the last couple of weeks, running 6 offensive linemen a little bit more than, they did during the season. A little bit more, almost more than anybody else right now, to protect the quarterback, run the football better. They're finding their footing. If they can be decent as an offense, they still have players, Nico Collins, those guys, and you're not going to want to play them. And now Kansas City has to play them now. Like, I believe their chances drop to like 12%, the Chiefs, if they lose this game in terms of in terms of our prediction metrics over at The Athletic. And so that's just staggering. You wouldn't think that would be the case. But what I think has happened in Kansas City, honestly, is this. We used to see that defense come up with game-changing plays in the biggest moments. They'd close games out. And I don't think people are paying attention enough to, like, Chris Jones is exhausted, man. He's never played this many snaps. He's 31 years old. Like, they're not as deep up front. They can't keep him fresh to go out and make plays. I think he's still playing really well and at a high level, but can he make those impact plays up front, like Karlaftis and that group? Like, it's just a little bit different there. And so, the one score game pendulum has swung back out of their favor after it was so unbelievable a year ago. And I can see them not being the same team that we've seen these years. I think Mahomes is trying to will it to happen, but it just might be too little too late. And with the Lions, I mean, I think this is just a massive game against Dallas because you're probably going to be without Amon-Ra St. Brown. Most likely hasn't been ruled out, but hasn't practiced yet this week. And you saw what the Packers did when they became kind of one dimensional going, well, we don't have to worry about no Laporta, no St. Brown. Let's just bottle up Jahmyr Gibbs. And he gets what, 20 carries for 68 yards. Like it's a little bit different in Detroit right now. It certainly is. And man, watch out for Dallas. They could win all 3 of these games. If you would have told me 12 days ago, Zach, that they were going to beat both teams that were in the Super Bowl and the Lions in 12 days. Oh my goodness.
Last thing I'll ask you, James Palmer, because all 4 of these quarterbacks could go either way, and I know Herbert's not healthy, but between Stroud, Herbert, Love, and Goff, who's the quarterback the rest of the way for this season that you have the most confidence in?
Regular season, I'll say Love. If you go and look at what he's done week 12 and beyond since 2023 to now, which is from his first year as a starter to now, he's got 29 touchdowns and 1 interception. That's best in the league. Like, he's outstanding at this point in the regular season. Now, it didn't transpire, in the post, like, he had some other issues. But, like, I would say I'd have the most trust in Love. But the problem is, with that offense, like, everybody plays them because he's so aggressive and they want to get downfield, plays them so deep. Tucker Kraft was everything to that offense.
Yeah.
I mean, everything to that offense. He was the guy that was underneath, get them yards after the catch, kind of break defenses out of playing a certain way, and they've yet to find that guy that can go and help him. But you look at Herbert, he's got no tackles. CJ's been kind of up and down. And I mean, Goff, you would, I think, most people would maybe say that in this answer because you've seen Goff's consistency at such a high level over the last couple of years. But that group just doesn't seem the same. The interior of the offensive line isn't the same. And I think that's changed the course of what's kind of transpired for him. And they've, I think people were excited to see Dan take over play calling, but losing coordinators over and over again is a tough thing to go through. They're going through it now for the first time, losing both. Talk to Philly, who does it apparently every year, it seems like. And it just is really, really difficult. So I think I'd really give it to Love right now. I think he's poised to make that next step. But man, I love Herbert so much. I want to see him play against Philly. But that offensive line, and it's just been so tough for him with the injuries. But man, is there anybody else you like enjoy watching play, like more than Justin Herbert go out there and just be Hercules essentially at times and just, I don't feel pain. I don't know if he's Deadpool. I don't know what it is, but he's unbelievable.
He's James Palmer. Does a great job. Scoop City with The Athletic, also covering the NFL for Bleacher Report here with us at the Zach Gelb Show. James, appreciate it as always. Thank you.
No problem. OH, buddy.
Ugh, N-O. All right, there he is, James Palmer from obviously Bleacher Report and The Athletic joining us on the Zach Gelb Show. We'll take a time out and be back after these short messages.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.